And again, we're going to open our Bibles, this time to Philippians, chapter 1, a new series of reflections to start this new year. And the theme we're going to be following is that of together, or together in the gospel. So Philippians chapter 1, you'll see, I'm just going to read the first 11 verses. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. May God cause his written word to become for us truly a living and feeding word. So today, the theme of together, and a particular blessing, A, B, C, D. Just let's just stand in awe for a moment. You know. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit convoluted, isn't it? But A, B, C, D. Self-awareness, generous blessing, community partnership, devoted prayer. What does it mean for Paul and Timothy to write to the church at Philippi, to offer this prayer of blessing for them, and to have that very clear sense that Paul and Timothy, even though they are stuck in prison somewhere, for their standing up for the faith that they hold in Jesus Christ and him raised from the dead, even though they are separated from the believers at Philippi, what does it take? What does it mean for them to be together, not just in their mission of sharing the gospel, but their life of living out their faith in Jesus Christ? Paul and Timothy in prison, and others in prison, the believers in Philippi, figuring out what does it mean day by day and week by week, what does it mean for us to follow the Lord Jesus? And I'm just drawing out these potential 4 points. Self-awareness. It takes self-awareness to be together. To be together takes self-awareness. It takes the willingness to offer a generous blessing. The willingness to offer a generous blessing. And then that awareness of community partnership. And Paul uses that word, partnership. Community partnership. We are together in this. And then the third one, devoted prayer. What a wonderful prayer that Paul prays. And this is my prayer, he says at the end. So just take a few minutes to highlight these. So we begin with self-awareness. And Paul and Timothy, well, slightly different in the version Bible translation I was working from as I was preparing this. Up on the screen, you'll see Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. In the reading that I read just a moment ago, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Literally, It does say, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people, well, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. And so, slaves and saints. And I think it's a wonderful way for Paul and Timothy to address themselves to the church at Philippi. And personally, I think, speaking of Paul and Timothy as servants, somehow a little bit weakens the strength of what he's saying. Because it literally uses the word doulos. You might know that as a Greek word, meaning slave. Paul and Timothy, they are slaves of Christ Jesus. So Paul and Timothy are saying, we're not here on our own agenda. We are slaves of Christ Jesus. That's why we're here. That's why we are doing what we're doing. That's why we're writing to you. That's why we're appealing to you. That awareness of, I am a slave of Christ Jesus. Of course, it's one thing to say that, another thing to live it. But that's the beginning of self-awareness. Who am I? Who am I in this relationship? There is Paul, an apostle. Timothy, his mission worker, his partner, alongside Paul, very significant in his own right. And so easy it would have been for Paul and Timothy to put themselves on a pedestal and to say, well, do you know what? I've been called by God to this special position and I'm expecting a bit of respect. You know, whatever I say, whatever I do, I expect a bit of respect and honour from you to me. But if we're going to be together, then Paul and Timothy, if ever they wanted to be on a pedestal, have to get down off the pedestal. And with self-awareness, just say, look, whatever you may think of us, we are slaves of Christ Jesus. We're in it for Christ Jesus. But then Paul and Timothy write to God's holy people, or to the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. And I don't know, when was the last time you thought of yourself as a saint? Is this a regular occurrence? You say, good morning, saint. You know, St. Ruth, St. Tim. I don't suppose we address ourselves. But it basically means somebody who's holy, somebody who belongs to God, somebody who is filled with the Holy Spirit, somebody who is a source of love. And this is a wonderful thing for Paul and Timothy as they write their self-awareness, of course, about themselves, their awareness of themselves. We're in it for Jesus Christ. We are slaves of him. We don't want to do anything that steps outside, in a sense, the boundaries of what Jesus himself would do. We want to reflect him as his slaves. But we're addressing you as saints because we're aware of who you are. We are aware of who you are. We know that you are holy, that God has chosen you for himself, that God has said, you belong to me. I love you with an everlasting love, and my arms are open to welcome you just as you are to myself. I've filled you with the Holy Spirit, and you're a source of the fatherly love of God. Now again, just as Paul and Timothy could have put themselves on a pedestal and demanded all sorts of things, but because of their self-awareness and their humility, they're able to say, no, we're slaves. Paul and Timothy are also able to look at the Philippians. And they could have said, crikey, would you stop complaining? They could have said, do you know, Philippi is okay, but the food was terrible. They could have said, you know, whatever, you know. They could have listed all of the Philippians' faults, everything that the Philippians had done wrong, their bumblings, their mistakes. They could have done that. But rather than that, Paul, with this simple sense of awareness, look, folks, you know, none of us are perfect. Let's see who we are. I'm a slave of Christ Jesus, and you're a saint. You're chosen by God, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you are, for the people in Philippi, you're a source of love, God's love. And this is the first thing I want to encourage us with here in Evesham for this year ahead, that we seek to grow in self-awareness. And we say, who am I and who are you? And I want to come, and I seek to come as a slave of Christ Jesus. That's who I seek to come as. Somebody who has been bought with a price. Somebody who is loved with an everlasting love. Somebody who I know has, you know, constantly makes mistakes and has failings, and I'll probably never meet anybody's expectations. And yes, my sermons are too long, and I don't choose the right songs or hymns and prayers, you know, in my service, and I don't visit often enough, and I don't do this and I don't do that and all the rest of it. But I come as a slave of Christ Jesus. This desire that in all I do and in all that I am, I never step outside of the love and the grace and the kindness of God. Who am I? And who are you? Who are you? What is your self-awareness of who you are? So easily we can put ourselves down and say, oh, I'm not worth much. And I want to encourage all of us. How do we come? Maybe you see yourself as a slave of Christ, but at the very least, we should see ourselves as saints, those who are holy, belonging to God, filled with the Holy Spirit, a source of the love of God, the fatherly love of God for Evesham. So we begin in this togetherness, this desire to journey together with self-awareness. The second heading is that of a generous blessing, a generous blessing. In verse 2, we have this very simply: grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love the fact that this begins with this word grace. Because as soon as we begin speaking about the grace of God, do you know what the limit of the grace of God is? There are none. There are no limits to the grace of God. And I just find it so encouraging that that's where Paul and Timothy begin in terms of their blessing, grace. And it's this sense of abundance. There is no end to the goodness of God, the blessing of God that he's pouring on you. Not just that he has poured on you, but he is pouring upon you. And they pray this blessing of peace and love and partnership. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This blessing of grace and peace from God our Father. We're in this together. There is partnership here as we journey together with God our Father. We are reminded of the fatherly love of God, a love that never fails us, a love that never comes to an end, a love that is faithful and true, a love that looks out for us. And even when we drift away from God, the fatherly love of God looks for us, constantly waiting for us. The first sign of the possibility, the potential that we want to return, then the fatherly love of God reaches out to us. And that's the blessing here, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us in all that we do. And so in terms of our together journey in 2023 at Evesham Baptist Church, we can begin with self-awareness, with a clear acknowledgement of who we are and who you are. But then the second thing, it seems to me, is the willingness to give a generous blessing. A generous blessing. And I know we're not always good at giving a generous blessing. Sometimes we want to say, yeah, I'm going to bless you, but, do you know that, Kelly? I bless you in the name of the Lord, but, God loves you, but. Have you ever come across this? You know, you ever experienced this kind of blessing? Kind of the but, dot, dot, dot. And you think, oh, crikey, what's coming next? You know, some criticism, some failure. And the generosity of the blessing here is that there's no but, there's no comma, dot, dot, dot. That's it. A generous blessing. Let's journey together. Let's be aware of who we are and let's generously bless one another. And the third note here is community partnership. Paul says, I always thank God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And Paul's joy here is because of their partnership. Now, it's not always true. When we read the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, it's not always true that there is this sense of partnership in the gospel. Clearly, some communities that Paul writes to are having a bit of a struggle. Sometimes in amongst themselves, there are different groups, different factions in the churches, in these believing communities, and they're fighting against each other. But sometimes, quite clearly, they're battling with Paul. And they're resisting what Paul has taught them about the Lord Jesus. And they want to do something else. And it seems to me that if you read some of Paul's other letters where there is this struggle, and then you read Philippians, it seems to me that there is this sense of relief from Paul. Do you know, I'm so glad I can write to you, Philippians. And it fills me with joy because I know you're on the same page as me. I know we're in this together. And it fills Paul with joy because of this partnership, because of this true togetherness that there is. And he goes on, not just because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, but then he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. See, Paul is confident. When he looks at the Philippian believers, he knows these guys, they're on the same page. We're doing okay. And it fills me with joy. But then he says, he sees, look, they're doing okay and they're journeying well. I am confident that what God has begun in you, he will carry it on to completion. Now it may be, that having come to faith for us, it may be that having come to faith, either ourselves or friends of ours or members of our families, they have at some point come to faith in Jesus Christ, but then maybe have drifted away. And it may be that there are members of our families or friends and so on who we would say perhaps that they no longer follow the Lord Jesus. It may be that they themselves would say, I no longer follow the Lord Jesus. Now, can we say of such people, can we say that we are confident of this, that God, who began a good work in them, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus? For those who've drifted away, do we still have that confidence that God who began that good work will carry it on and will bring it to completion? And I would suggest, even if we do have that confidence, Paul's confidence here that God will complete this work is because there's this partnership. He looks out and he sees these people are walking with Jesus. Day by day, they are following in the footsteps of Jesus. And it gives him great confidence. They are with me. I was at a ministers' meeting just a few days ago this week, gathering of ministers from within Worcestershire. And it's fascinating to hear the stories that are told about where churches are at, where ministers are at, how they're feeling, what's going on, and so on. But almost every time there's a story of the stress that some ministers are going through because they feel that they're leading in a particular direction, they're preaching in a particular direction, and so on. And there is this stress, this tension of, normally it's not the whole church, but on, I think Thursday was it, when I met with the other ministers, there was stories of just a group in a church who were trying to pull in a different direction. And how stressful that is. And I know that. And maybe you've known that as well. And so I know that when Paul prays this prayer, it really is an overflowing of thankfulness. I'm so grateful to God that you're in this with me. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful that we are partners together in the gospel. And we're figuring this out together. And so there is for Paul joy and encouragement and this confidence. God started it in you and he will bring it to completion. And so we begin with this self-awareness and then we bless one another generously, no ifs, no buts. And then we seek to work together, to journey together, adopting the same values, the same focus together. And then fourthly, devoted prayer. And this is my prayer. And what I think it's just such a wonderful prayer. This is my prayer. Paul begins, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Of all the things that Paul and Timothy could pray for the Philippians, this is top of the list, that their love may abound more and more. Again, I don't want to go on about it, but in ministers' meeting the other day, and it's happened on numerous occasions, different concerns are shared. And there's all sorts of answers and solutions and so on. But I find myself time and time again, I remember in situations where people are exploring their call from God. Are they called to ministry at all and being involved in on committees and interviewing panels? Are people called to ministry and all this kind of thing? And the prayer that keeps coming back to me is this particular prayer. People are concerned about their gifting. People are concerned about their calling. People are concerned about all sorts of practical matters. And I find myself praying more and more. Father, I pray for so-and-so, that their love may abound more and more, that they might go deeper into you, that they might find themselves rooted in you. And maybe this can be our prayer for one another, together. Whatever else we pray, that our love might abound more and more, that we might go deeper into God. We pray an abundance upon one another. And this is where we think, what can I pray for somebody? I pray God will be with them. You know, that might be a good prayer. But the abundance is, how can I pray God will be with you, with them? abundantly. How do I pray that? Say, Lord, don't just be with them, but let them know that you're with them. Excite them today. May there be those coincidental, strange, mysterious meetings so that they're aware that you are with them, you're walking with them. May they know every time that they open up the Bible that you speak to them. May it be truly living words that they're reading. This is the prayer of abundance, praying more and more that they might know the heart of God, that they might know the character of God. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. Maybe that can be our prayer for one another. But then he goes on, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless. Paul prays, he wants their love to abound. He wants them to go deeper into God, for the reality of God to be more living and vital for them every moment of every day. That's what his prayer is. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless. Paul wants them to grow in God. Paul wants them to grow in God. Now, the children, the young people are out at the moment. And I know that there is a desire always with teachers, the leaders in Sunday Jam, and with the young people, with discoverers, to find ways to communicate to children and young people in simple ways the truth about God. To communicate to children and young people, God is your Father. The Lord Jesus is your Saviour. The Lord Jesus calls you to follow him. And isn't that right? Just finding simple ways. Can I communicate this simply? I don't want to complicate this with philosophical theology or anything. You know, just want simple stuff that I can communicate. A, B, C, D. Put it out there. It may be that for the Philippians, there's this sense for them that they have learned the simple stuff. They've learned the basic stuff. Like, you know, I did. When I was young, I learned the simple stuff about the Christian faith. And many of us, if you grew up in church, went to Sunday school, youth groups and so on, we learned the simple stuff, the basic stuff. And what Paul is praying is, Lord, may their love abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that they can grow, so that they can discern what is best and be pure and blameless. We don't want them to stay with the simple, with the basic stuff, although that's an important foundation. We want them to grow in their faith. And as they move through life, as they face the challenges of life, being able to take that simple basic stuff and apply it. And then somehow you will know that when we face the difficult, the complicated questions, applying the simple and basics of our faith somehow changes it and transforms it, and it grows stronger and more mature. And then we grow up in life, and there are other difficult questions we ask. Sometimes they're questions about what we read in the Bible. Sometimes they're questions about lifestyle and so on. And we apply what is our growing faith to those questions wherever we find them. And we have almost a dialogue between what we know and the questions. And we find that as we pursue that dialogue, that conversation, so our faith grows and becomes stronger. And it's no longer just the simplistic things that we learned in Sunday Jam or Discoverers, but it is stronger and a more mature faith. And that's Paul's prayer. I want you to abound in love and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you might grow. You might be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless. This is the learning thing. And this word, you may be pure. You may be pure. The image here is of a piece of glass. Sarah's forever on at me about cleaning the windows at home. Does that resonate, Henry? You know, in winter, I have to say, in winter, normally the windows look great. You know, it's when the sun shines, you know. And this word pure is, the image is of looking through a bright light, through a piece of glass or something like that. You see, ordinarily, we see a piece of glass and go, yeah, cool, it's fine. It's a bit like the dishes are clean, you know. They're fine. It's when we hold up the glass at the bright light and then we go, oh, crikey, yeah, smudge, we need to clean. May you be pure, may you be really pure, so that the bright light shines all the way through. The light of Christ shines all the way through. And you might be blameless, so that those in Philippi, or those for us in Evesham, other people outside the church, they don't get a wrong impression, a wrong understanding of the Christian faith when they look at you. They don't learn that God is mean. They don't learn that Christians can do whatever they like. But blameless, other people will learn from you that there is a good way to live, abounding in love. And then just noting, and this is my prayer, the end of that prayer, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the praise and to the glory and praise of God. This fruit of righteousness, it's all about relationships and shared values and being godly together. And Paul is praying that the people in Philippi, they might know togetherness just as much as Paul and Timothy feel this sense of togetherness with them. Their prayer is that they, within the church, might know this blessing of shared values and godliness. I'm going to pause there because I'm aware time has gone. And may we know encouragement, or may we have been stimulated. The encouragement to walk together in 2023. The decision that we take to be self-aware, to ask the question, who am I and who are you? That whatever we find out about who am I and who are you, we decide, we make the decision to offer a generous blessing. And we say, let's do this together. Let's figure out a way to journey together, that we might be a blessing amongst ourselves and out into the community as well. And let's pray prayers that are devoted prayers, prayers of abundance and goodness for one another. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful to you for your abundant love, your love that never fails us. Father, thank you. Father, thank you that in you, we have a common focus, the one that we look to. We fix our eyes upon you and upon your Son, the Lord Jesus. We acknowledge our own weaknesses and our own failures. And yet, Father, our deeper desire, our greater desire, is that we might walk together and we might walk together well. Pour out your Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Christ. Amen.